This morning, as we think about the topic, the reality of living without fear, one of the things that's on America's mind this week is Southwest Flight 1380. And I was not on that plane, but a brother, both in faith and in ministry, and his wife were on this plane, Tim and Amanda Borman, and they serve our Wisconsin Synod Church in Queens, New York, in a city of millions of people. We have one church presence there. Hopefully, God willing, in the future, we'll have more to serve all those people. But they were flying from LaGuardia to Dallas on that flight, and we're headed to San Antonio for, in our church body, to refresh us and refocus us as pastors at our 10-year mark in ministry, and then at 25 years, they have a retreat, and they have finished 10 years in ministry, and they're headed to San Antonio for this retreat. And we're on this plane where, tragically, one individual lost their life, and miraculously, the rest of the passengers and crew made it safely to the ground after the engine exploded and the window went out and pressure was lost. And, you know, it's in reflecting on that and some of the words that they shared, you know, when you step on a plane, you're committing yourself to a level of vulnerability. You know, those of you that travel a lot and fly a lot, you maybe don't think about it twice, but I know there's always a tinge, like when we take off, my little prayer is, Lord, lift us up on the wings of eagles, right, from Isaiah. And when we touch down, there's just kind of a little sigh of relief that we were 6 miles up and now we're safely on the ground again. And when you hit turbulence, I don't like turbulence. Some people think it's like a roller coaster. I like the smooth flight. There's just this little tinge of fear that I have to fight, that, you know, is this turbulence going to end? You hear about planes dropping hundreds of feet and air pockets. And on the rare occasion, like we talked about, you know, fear being the reality that is an emotion caused by a belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain or harm. There's this, it may not be, like when you think of even this tragedy was the first life lost on an air flight since 2009 in the U.S. And, I mean, that's an incredible amount of safety amidst one unfortunate tragedy. But you have this fear that comes over your mind and your heart, at least I do to some degree, because you're out of control, and you're relying on the pilots and the crew and really the whole staff that service that plane and check the parts and replace the parts to make sure it's... And I'm amazed how safe air travel really is when you think about it. So Tim and Amanda Borman were on this flight, and from their interviews, and we had a video, but it was off of CNN, and I guess they block you from downloading those videos. And it was just kind of... He got interviewed by Anderson Cooper on 360 on CNN, and just to share their, you know, initial fear, but fighting that fear was a calmness, a peace in their faith in the Lord Jesus, and the prayer for angels to come and protect them, which God answered that prayer, very much in favor of that. And then to think about they have three young girls, and, you know, what can we get online and text to them and say we love them and Jesus loves them, and stay close to Jesus. Those are tough moments, as to think about that, and to have some time to anticipate your last minutes, your last hours. And so, I guess in that frame of mind, as we're talking about fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by belief that something or someone is dangerous or likely to cause pain or threaten. Or I mean, when a window blows out, like, this is not just a belief about this is a real danger, and the fact that Pilot Schutz landed safely, just a testimony to her training and calmness and also her Christian faith that she has. Vulnerability. Let's get a definition of vulnerability. Is susceptible to physical or emotional attack or harm. And I'd like to think you weren't on that plane, but I'm sure there are moments in your life that you have felt vulnerable. And vulnerability can come physically, that you feel like there's a harm impending. Sometimes vulnerability can be financial, right, where you feel financially vulnerable. or the contrast security, if you have financial security. Sometimes emotional vulnerability, right? Where you may, sometimes even in church, right? Where you come to your church family and you kind of put on your Sunday best and you're like, I'm not going to really share what's going on because they may think I'm not a good Christian or I'm not whatever, and we have this facade until we really meet someone we can open up to. And part of that is we don't want to be vulnerable with people. We don't want to really let them in because perhaps we've been hurt by people in the past. So what is it for you? What is the vulnerability that maybe is coming to your mind? And in our own life, in the Geiger household, we had a reminder of how vulnerable we are. Fortunately, it wasn't anything severe, but we had our vehicle broken into Friday night, Saturday morning sometime, and whoever it was must have gotten scared off fairly quickly because not a whole lot was taken, which we're grateful for. But it kind of rattles you, right? And so like yesterday, Christy's looking online for video cameras and, you know, we have here's the dumb thing. We have a home security system, but we just never hooked it up that we're actually paying for that we haven't hooked up. So stupid tax in regard to that. But you have a different awareness, right? When your vulnerability has been exposed and your sense of security is broken, you look to regain that security, whether it's by a home security system. Ultimately it's like, well, if I want to have control, I just go live by myself. I don't have to deal with other people, whatever. However we try and we're searching for security. And psychologists have measured, you know, basic human needs. And right above the basic human need of water and food and physical sustenance, the next highest need is security, feeling safe. And it's what we crave and what we desire, and no one wants to live in a state of insecurity. It's uncomfortable, both physically, emotionally, etc. So today, as we look at the scriptures and we hear Jesus' voice saying, do not fear, we want to look at what is security. So a definition of that, a state of being free from danger or threat. A state of being free from danger or threat. Now, you look at that definition, you say, well, can we ever have true security? Like, are we ever truly free from every danger or threat? We can debate that later. I think it's very hard, right, to absolutely say, I am 100% secure, that I am free from every danger or threat. But how do we live without fear? Where do we find security that even if danger and threat are around us and we have those vulnerabilities, that our heart can be at peace? And that's where I pray God's Spirit works this morning, is in our hearts to help us find that peace even when life around us seems vulnerable. And to do that, I invite you to open up to John chapter 10, and we're going to look at some verses from the middle of that chapter. The first ones I want to look at as we look to find security in Jesus is John chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. These are Jesus is speaking. It says, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, I'm going to build the context as we go through the message today. But Jesus didn't call the shepherds around Jerusalem and say, okay, we're going to have a shepherding convention, and let me give you the 101 about how to tend your sheep. All right? So even though these are very practical things, it's like, get good hired help. If you're going to hire someone to watch your sheep, hire someone that's not going to run away. He's not talking about physical shepherding, but he's using the practice of shepherding to teach a spiritual truth. And ultimately, what is Jesus concerned with? He's ultimately concerned with our spiritual security, with our hearts. And the group that he's talking to has been taken care of somewhat by hired hands, that they're connected to the Lord in the words that God gave. But when danger came, they weren't really tending and watching over and making sure the people of God were spiritually secure. And I think it's safe to say when the wolf comes are those things that desire to devour us spiritually. And behind that is the work of Satan, right? And his desire to get our heart and to get us away from Jesus. And as we'll see, Jesus is going to call himself the good shepherd that doesn't do this. So the first thing that Jesus, as we think about security and vulnerability, we want to understand what the true danger is. This past week in our Wednesday night Bible study, we've been looking at the book of Romans, and we think about spiritual vulnerability. Where is our greatest vulnerability? It's in our relationship to God. And when we think about that vulnerability and say, how am I going to deal? How do I know for sure? How do I have any level of security that my heart and my life is right with God and that there's a better location after this life than perhaps this one is offering? And people search for that security, and they try and do things, and they try and perform the right activities to have some security in heart and mind that says, I am right with God. And as we looked at the book of Romans, whether you come from a religious background or not, Paul is saying even the people without this written scripture have a conscience that guides them in their right and wrong. And even if you have the written law, you realize this truth, Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. What this points out, when we think about our greatest vulnerability, Jesus points it out because he realized the first, if we're going to find security in something, we have to realize what our greatest vulnerability is. And so he gives me this warning of danger. He gives me a warning of danger. The wolf is going to come, right? Satan's going to come. He's going to tempt you. He's going to get you away from me. It's going to be obvious that you are not measuring up to the Lord. I'm not measuring up to the Lord. There's going to be people that are hired hands that are supposed to, but when the danger comes, they're not giving you good advice. They're not protecting you from those temptations. But rather, standing before God on our own, we are completely vulnerable, right? We are completely exposed, so to speak, in regard to our life does not measure up. And see, like, where is the security in that? You see, by contrast to the hired hand and to the wolf, here's what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. To know someone has your back, even in this human relationship world, has a level of security. When you know that someone is willing to give their life for you, heightens that. Why do children find security in their parents? Because there's a protective nature that when they're afraid, they want to be around mom and dad. At least to a certain age, right? But still, they're even when they grow older, they still find security because they know that mom and dad, God willing, value them more than their own life. And those of you that had the privilege of being a parent, you know that you're willing to give up an awful lot. And then heighten that our Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And what do I do in this role as a good shepherd? Well, when the wolf comes, the hired hands leave and leave you spiritually vulnerable. I am not going to do that. And if our greatest danger, our greatest vulnerability is our standing before God, what does Jesus do to take care of that? I'm willing to give up my life for you. Another section of Romans that we looked at, it's not going to be up on the screen, I'm just going to read it to you. Later in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes, there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. You see, what we could not cover on our own, the sheep were very helpless, right? If the hired hand leaves and the wolf comes in, the sheep are goners, right? There's nothing to protect them. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and when the wolf comes, I'm going to take on the wolf, and I'm willing to give up my life on your behalf to protect you, my sheep. And the greatest way that Jesus did that is by giving up his life willingly, right? He didn't say, well, the wolf was just so strong and he overpowered me. He said, no. He said, I gave up my life of my own accord. I take it up. I lay it down. I am the one in control. And that's an amazing thing about our good shepherd, about Jesus, that he was in full control. He wasn't overwhelmed to the point of death in regard to the people around him. It was like, well, I can't combat Pilate and these Roman soldiers are just too strong. Like, he willingly gave up his life in place of ours. Even though we as sheep had every right to stand before our Heavenly Father with full vulnerability, full exposure to what our sins deserve, but Jesus said, I'm not going to let my sheep do that. And I'm going to stand in their place. And I'm going to allow my blood to be shed so theirs doesn't have to be. And I'm going to take on Satan and I'm going to defeat him. And I'm going to prove it by coming alive again, which we celebrate on Easter. And so Jesus, as our good shepherd, guards me with his life. That's an all-in. Right? That's the most anyone could give. And as much as I could give my life for you, it's not going to matter. You don't want my life standing in your place before God because it is just as broken, it is just as deficient, it is just as vulnerable as yours. But the perfect life of Jesus, along with his death that paid the punishment for our sin and his glorious resurrection, that's the life you want standing before you and God. And when you think about it, what gives us peace between us and God is knowing that we have no vulnerability. We have no threat of consequence. We have no threat of punishment eternally because Jesus has stood in the place, has taken our place. That's what brings security to our hearts. Jesus continues in chapter 10, verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I confess I've never had any personal experience with sheep other than looking at them in a pen at the state fair. But Marta Staley confirmed a little bit what I read about the voice of the shepherd. And so the sheep would get used to not, you know, here, lammy, lammy, oh, nice little lamb. But the shepherd would have a particular sound to his voice and a particular call that when the sheep heard that, they would know that's their shepherd. And sheep, my understanding, naturally look for that protection because they realize they're somewhat vulnerable on their own. They're a herding, they stay together, but they kind of run off the cliff together and they run to pasture together and they need someone, a good shepherd, to guide them with that voice. And so Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I take my voice, and I lead my sheep, and I will do that for this flock, referring to those Jewish people, and then for others that are not yet part of this flock, are going to hear my voice and follow. And when those sheep would hear that voice, they found and knew that that is the voice that would lead them to what they needed physically, pasture, and they would also protect them from that which threatened them physically. There's a story of the past that in an area where shepherding was more common, that an invading force came in and took a herd of sheep. And I'm not sure where the shepherd was or if he was, you know, obviously a human shepherd would be overpowered by that. And they didn't have to go in and forcefully take those sheep back. The shepherd just got close enough and gave the shepherding call, and the sheep came after him. That's how powerful the voice of the good shepherd is it calls out and desires that we follow after. So if we're looking for security in Jesus, we recognize he guides us with his voice, his words. Again, you think maybe back to your childhood days where you felt vulnerable, you felt afraid because of whatever threat, and you had mom or dad's voice saying, it's okay. I'm right here. Right? And that fear that is caused by that vulnerability, it now finds security because, you know, A, mom and dad love you to the point of giving their life, and that voice that they have is comforting to you in your heart. And that's why that Jesus is the good shepherd, wants us to follow his voice. He wants us to hear it clearly because there's a lot of other voices in the world around us, right? There's a lot of other things that are calling our attention. Come follow me, come follow me, come this. And we have to recognize which things are of God and which things are not, which things are Jesus' voice and which things are Satan's deception. And when we think about the vulnerabilities in life, sometimes those vulnerabilities and the lack of peace and the fear that comes in our heart is perhaps because we've listened to another voice, going back to those things that sometimes we find security in, right? If the voice in our mind says, if you have enough to retire on, if you have enough financial wealth to be comfortable in retirement, however you want to define that, then you are secure. That's really a false voice versus finding our true treasure and our true value in our connection to our Savior Jesus. And rejoice in the blessing that he gives us in regard to material wealth that takes care of our needs. But if those get reversed, we're hearing the wrong voice, right? Or if we hear a voice that says, I'm not worth something, I'm not worth, and people, you know, if I really let people know who I am, then they're not going to value me, they're not going to love me. And all those questions of identity and security and significance. And if those are the voices that we're hearing versus Jesus who said, I loved you to give my life on the cross, I value you, whatever happens, nothing can separate you from my love. I created you. I gave you the gifts that you have. I'm with you always. If those are the voices that are filling our heart and our mind that give much more meaning and significance than trying to find it somewhere else. So I just invite you to consider, what are the voices that are filling your mind, and ask, are these the voice of your good shepherd? Or are they the voice of the wolf that loves to come in and destroy and take captive and remove the peace from our heart? So when we understand the danger, and we understand that Jesus has and is willing to give up his life, is willing and has given up his life for us, and we recognize his voice and we're taking it in and we're being guided by it, what is the result when vulnerabilities in life come? Well, if I'm sitting on a plane, I realize that if this doesn't end well from a physical perspective, I still have Jesus. And if my kids don't see me again, I want them to have Jesus. Or if someone breaks into your car and takes some things that have some material value and you got to go through the time to kind of reset things, you're like, they can take all this stuff, but I still have Jesus. They can't take Jesus. Right, I can put all the video cameras and all the security systems and have the police patrol up and down the street, whatever, but it doesn't completely give me security, but I still have Jesus. If I have people in my life that love and care about me and at some point they disappoint me or they leave me, etc., Jesus says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, I still have Jesus. If I'm not feeling great, I go to the doctor and I thought it was just a cold or just some small thing and they reveal that I have something that is very serious and I'm losing my health and my time on this earth is limited. As hard and as emotionally challenging as that would be, I still have Jesus. And so no matter what my vulnerability in life is and however it presents itself, and as much as I humanly try to find security and try and build that fortress around myself, it will always lack. The only thing that drives out fear and gives my heart peace, even when life around me is a bit chaotic and a bit, realistically, fearful, I can hear Jesus' voice that says, do not be afraid. I am your good shepherd. And when you feel vulnerable, I will give you and have given you security. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus. There are times in life, Lord, we're all too vulnerable and we try and control and we try and surround ourselves to build that fortress and to build security on our own human way. And while there's perhaps some practical value to that. Let us never put our full security in those human things, but rather always allow it to rest in you and who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you for being our good shepherd. Help us always to follow your voice, to have full confidence in the life that you've laid down, and to realize that our vulnerability before you is completely covered in your perfect life, innocent death, and glorious resurrection. Help us each and every day to follow you, our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.